that bothering you?
It's skipping.
Well, I know that, Julie. It's been doing it for 45 minutes. You know, I mean, at first it was just annoying, but I just couldn't bring myself to change the station. And then after it went on for a while, I guess I just sort of got fascinated. You know, this station must have the world's biggest scratch record collection. They once played Locomotion. It skipped for 3 days, August 14th through the 17th, 1986.
Don't they have DJs?
Only one.
Must be a relief when he goes on.
Not really. He stutters.
Sorry I'm late.
Mary Jo, you're just in time to meet your new client. Mr. Hedgecock's in Atlanta. He's coming over this morning.
Danny Hedgecock? Oh, I like him so much. He's always so nice on the phone, asking about my family and all. It's hard to believe he's so rich.
Those South Carolina Hedgecocks have been walking in tall cotton for some time.
I guess they must be. When I asked him how much he wanted to spend on his new Atlanta place, he said, whatever y'all need. Can you believe it? I'm finally going to get to do a house just the way I want it. Ta-da!
Welcome back.
Well, what do you think?
About what?
Julia, for heaven's sake, compliment her before she bores herself into the floor.
You look very pretty, Suzanne.
Julia, I just spent 1 week and $2,000 at Rancho del Sol. I've been massaged and exfoliated. I've been herbal wrapped and scrubbed with sea salt. My pores have been vacuumed. I was pretty before I left. Now I expect a little bit more reaction.
Wow. $2,000? That's a lot of sea salt.
Yeah, really. Next time you want your pores vacuumed, you just tell me. I'll be glad to run my little dustbuster all over your face.
Oh, now, Anthony, be careful. Those are my new beauty products.
Those are all beauty products?
Uh-huh. I was looking at some of this stuff on the way in from the airport. We've got turtle oil. We've got algae from the bottom of the ocean. We've got seaweed, mud, and kelp. I'm telling you, if all these products really did beautify, your average catfish would be a lot more attractive.
Now, poo on all of you. You may not notice how ravishing I am, but a man would notice in a minute.
Yeah, well, thank goodness none of those rough, hairy beasts are around right now. I just can't stand them at this time of the month.
Suzanne,
must you always do that?
What?
Treat Anthony as if he were the eunuch of the harem.
Oh, I do not. The what?
I'll explain later.
Well, as I was saying, if there were a man here, every penny of that $2,000 would be being appreciated. You just watch. Next man who sees me is going to be struck dumb with awe. What are you looking at, Mary Jo?
Oh, nothing. It's just, you got a little zit right there.
If you need me, I'll be upstairs in Julia's powder room.
You know, once when I was 17 years old, I went to sing on a Saturday afternoon television program. I was so excited. Mother took me to Lenox Square to get my hair done. I had a brand new dress. It was almost too fine to sit down in. On that day when I spent 3 hours in the bathroom, bathing and brushing and primping and making up, I believe I cared less about how I looked than Suzanne does every day of her life. Somebody's pulling up. Maybe it's Mr. Hedgecock.
A car and driver, no less.
What'd y'all say he did for a living?
Shh, I don't know. As many conversations I had on the phone, I never... What is he? He's blind.
Mary Jo, we knew that.
I prefer to think of it as really, 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 really nearsighted.
I'm so sorry, but I just can't believe somebody didn't mention it to me before.
Well, it's my fault. Sometimes I tell people on the phone, sometimes I don't. It's not exactly what you'd call a good icebreaker. Then again, I don't want to startle people, so from now on, I'm introducing myself as Danny Hedgecock, blind guy. You're Mary Jo, right?
Yes, I am. I'm so pleased to meet you. I'm so sorry. Do forgive me.
Oh, no problem. Is Charlene here?
Hi, Danny.
Hi, Charlene.
And I'm Julia Sugarbaker.
Hello, Julia.
It's wonderful to finally have you here in Atlanta. Mary Jo's just full of ideas for your new house.
You know what? Why don't we just kind of get to know each other today? How long are you going to be in town?
Just long enough to sign the final papers on the house and visit some folks.
It's a shame you won't have time to enjoy a bit more of our city.
Ah, but I did manage to get some tickets to the Atlanta Symphony. Jean-Pierre Rampal is performing.
I was just listening to some early recordings of his on the car radio.
Really? I'd love to hear them.
Ladies, I hate to interrupt, but there's a delivery man out here. I told him to come around the back, but he's just sitting in the driveway saying he needs all your signatures on the bill of lading before he can unload. He seems to be under the erroneous impression that I myself am some kind of shiftless hired hand who's just waiting around to make off with his load of petty point throw pillars.
Good grief. We're coming. Will you excuse us for just a moment, Mr. Hitchcock?
Maybe you could find Mr. Rampal still on the radio there. Would that be all right?
I'd like that fine.
We'll be right back, Danny.
Suzanne Sugarbaker.
How do you do?
Don't let me bother you.
I'm just listening to this wonderful piece of music.
Oh.
Suzanne. I'd like you to meet Daniel Hedgecock.
Blind guy.
Well, thank goodness. I thought I was losing my touch.
That Danny Hedgecock sure is a doll. It's gonna be fun working with him.
Charlene, do you know why Mary Jo doesn't want to talk to him about her ideas for his house?
Well, she told me that, you know, with all our other clients, you know, she brings out fabric swatches and paint samples, asks them what colors they like, you know, shows them her sketches, and, well, she can't do any of that with him.
Surely she can find a way.
Well, she said something about doing her whole presentation in scratch and sniff.
I can't believe Mary Jo said that. She's as bad as Suzanne, sitting in here asking him where's his dog, does he know Stevie Wonder?
I know, that was so embarrassing. Danny sure took it well, though.
Nevertheless, I think it might be professionally astute to limit the contact between Suzanne and Mr. Hedgecock in the future.
Uh-oh.
What is it?
Well, those contracts of his. You know, I was going to put them in the mail, but Suzanne was going downtown, so she's taking them over to his hotel.
Oh, no. We'll just have to hope for the best.
Yeah. I just hope she forgets that question she wanted to ask him about Jose Feliciano.
Hello?
Suzanne, hi. Charlene said you were coming.
What are you doing?
Just reading.
Oh. Well, here are those interior decorating papers.
Thank you.
My, you certainly are neat. I've never seen such a tidy room for a man who wasn't unnaturally close to his mother.
I haven't seen Mom in years. I just pretty much have to be neat in order to keep track of things.
Oh, well, I could never do that.
Oh?
I just throw my things any old where, and then Consuela, that's my maid, she picks them up and puts them away.
Uh-huh.
Except sometimes she has sort of a fit, you know, and throws everything out into the front yard, and then she gets the leaf blower and blows them all into the street. Well, I told her, fit or no fit, next time she does that, I'm packing her little bags and sending her home.
Oh, where's that?
I don't know, Paraguay, Uruguay, one of those Guay countries. I mean, she tells me it's an uncontrollable seizure, but, I mean, the last time my pig got into the act and swallowed a pair of pantyhose. And that's where I draw the line.
You have a pig?
Yeah. What about it?
No, nothing. Go on.
Well, you can imagine how upset I was. I mean, it was my last pair that had run in them. Plus the fact the pantyhose are not good for pigs. I mean, we had to rush Noel to the vet.
Excuse me, Mr. Hedgecock.
Lunch. Bring it in, please. Do you like lobster?
I adore lobster.
Yeah, I figured it. Now, go on with your story.
Oh, well, so we took Noel to the vet. Thank you. And this stupid veterinarian, he says to me, oh, don't worry, everything's gonna come out all right. And I said, well, I get your implication. And it's the most vulgar thing I've ever heard in my life.
So, you know, I take Noelle home, and sure enough, all my stuff.
Suzanne, we were worried about you. It's after 5 o'clock.
Did you get to see Mr. Hedgecock?
Yes, I got to see him.
Well, what's the matter?
I tell you what's the matter. He's rich, charming, smart, funny, from a good family, not cheap, and he's crazy about me.
What makes you think Danny Hedgecock's so crazy about you?
Oh, for crying out loud, Mary Jo, I can tell when a man's interested in me. I have a sixth sense. Danny only has four. It's just too weird for me.
I'm not convinced. It isn't all in your imagination.
Julia, he told me, he specifically asked for me to bring those contracts down. He found out my favorite food by calling my housekeeper and ordering us a special lunch. He kept me talking for 3 hours. And he asked me out to dinner in the symphony concert tonight.
Well,
he also says that he thinks I'm very smart.
That's it. I'm convinced. He's got it bad.
Tell me about it. Now all I have to do is figure out a way to break this date, you know, without destroying him.
Break the date? Why would you want to break the date?
I only said yes because it kind of caught me by surprise, you know, but then on the way home, I realized, of course, I just can't go out with him.
Why not? I mean, I happen to be going with the sweetest, kindest, handsomest man in shoe leather, and I don't even look at other men anymore, of course, you know, but say, you know, if something were to happen, like I got hit on the head and temporarily got amnesia, you know, and Bill was away because he was on some secret government mission, and I thought he was dead.
Charlie!
Well, I mean, I'd be on Danny Hedgecock like a duck on a June bug. I mean, we're talking about a millionaire who spends his weekends working with underprivileged kids. I mean, we're talking about a Phi Beta Kappa from Vanderbilt who still knows why hee-haw is funny. I mean, men like that are just not walking the streets.
Well, that's good, because men like that be bumping into each other.
Well, I think we're all agreed that Dan Hedgecock has every good quality in the book. There's just one little tiny thing that's the matter with him.
That he's blind.
No, that he wants to go out with you.
Well, I'm sorry. I cannot go out with every man that asks me. If I did that, I'd have a backed-up waiting list from about 1972. And I do not appreciate your comments on my personal and private life. And now, if you will excuse me, I have things to do.
You suppose she knows she just slammed herself into the storeroom?
Not to worry. Just as soon as she realizes that she's in a room where people actually work, she'll get out right quick.
Y'all were a little rough on Suzanne.
She's gonna dump on a guy because he happens to be handicapped, and you're saying that we were rough on her?
Maybe I'm just exercising my sisterly prerogative to defend my own blood, but I have never known Suzanne to be bigoted about handicapped people. Oh, yes, she'll say all kinds of outrageous things, but the only people she really considers handicapped would be the money impaired. You know, when she was at Ole Miss, she went out for quite a while with this very handsome, very wealthy young Sigma Chi, who was totally deaf. Of course, everybody joked that was the perfect man for Suzanne, but it didn't bother her one little bit.
What?
Well, nothing. I'm just thinking, here's this cute, eligible bachelor who sat here for almost an hour talking to all four of us, and then he asked out Suzanne.
Well, I go with somebody. I probably mentioned that.
No, you didn't.
Well, I was sending out signals.
Well, I guess I was, too.
It is kind of strange, isn't it? Danny going hog wild over Suzanne?
Not at all. Men love Suzanne. They always have.
But a blind man. Go figure it. I don't get it.
Hello, Suzanne.
Hello, Anthony.
Are you lost?
No, thank you. I'm just looking around at things. I'm not sure I've ever been in this room before.
Oh, come on. You must have. What about that weekend when we all took inventory? No, you were in Bimini. Hey, how about that time we all pitched in to move the heavy... No, you were in St. Croix that week. Okay, maybe you never have been in here. How do you like it?
Well, it's kind of musty and dirty, and someone should put all this stuff away.
It is a way, Suzanne. That's why they call this the storeroom.
Oh, huh? Anthony?
Uh-huh.
Well,
When I need to talk to someone, I can't talk to women because they're always so catty about men. Well, I can't talk to men because I'd be letting them in on far too much, but maybe I could talk to you.
Get along with your flattery.
Oh, I know. Julia says I treat you like a eunuch. Says I say things right to your face like you don't count, but do you think that's true?
Well, Suzanne, the only way that I can answer that question is by telling the abominicious story. It's a true story. See, there was this white family lived in Mississippi, and they had this man who worked for them occasionally named Bominicious. Now, he did various small jobs for them on and off for about a week. One night, he had just finished bartending a party, and the lady of the house realized that she didn't have any money. So she said to him,
Bominicious, I want to write you a check, but I don't know how to spell Bominicious.
He said, well, I've been meaning to talk to you about that. See, when I came to work for you, I told you my name, and then I said, but you can call me by my initials. I've always felt that story kind of sums up a particular kind of relationship.
Well, whatever, but can we please get back to me now?
Forgive me.
That's all right. Well, I guess it all started when I was born beautiful. By my first birthday, it was clear that I was going to be ravishing, and then by my second...
Excuse me, Suzanne.
Yes?
How old are you at the end of this story? I'm sorry, go on.
Anthony, I've always been the pretty one. I can't date a blind man. Who would I be then?
Date a blind man?
Yeah. You know, Mary Jo and Charlene and them, they think I'm just being a jackass, but you understand, don't you?
I think I do, but you don't have to worry about that. Suzanne, you have a lot more to offer people than just your looks.
Really?
Sure you do. I know you can be a little selfish sometimes, a tiny bit vain, petty.
Anthony, there better be a butt coming up around now. I'm starting to feel like these little honest, heartfelt talks just are highly overrated.
The butt is coming, Suzanne, and here it is. But you are a very special and unique person, and a lot of people love you very much for reasons that have absolutely nothing to do with your looks.
Oh, I know that. I just think it's a waste, that's all. I mean, Danny should be going out with some nice, homely girl, you know? I mean, some very sweet girl with a face like a mud fence. Someone who could really appreciate the fact that he can't see her. That would be best.
So what are you telling us?
I'm saying that maybe Suzanne's problem isn't that Danny's blind. Maybe she's afraid that somebody who can't see her really can see her. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I'm glad you do.
Charlene, what I'm saying is that all the turtle oil and herbal wraps and new hairdos in the world cannot cut any ice with this man. And neither can the sidelong glances, half smiles, and mischievous twinkles that Suzanne has raised to an art form. This is her art form. Now she would feel like Mozart playing to an audience that's tone deaf. She would have to rely on other resources. And it's silly. But maybe she's wondering right now if she has any.
Oh, yeah, but I sure wish she'd change her mind.
Good evening, ladies.
Hi, Danny.
Hi, Danny.
Is Suzanne ready? We've got to get to dinner early.
No, she's not. But come over here and sit down with us for a minute.
Right. Mary Jo, I understand that you're having some problems putting together your plans for my house.
Well, I was, but not anymore. You see, at first, I thought you were a special case, and then I realized that all any of our customers want is a home that's convenient and comfortable and will look pretty for company.
Right. I just don't want to spend too much on paintings.
To tell the truth, Danny, Suzanne isn't going to be able to make her date with you tonight. Mm. She's asked me to please tell you how very, very sorry she is, but some business responsibilities have come up this evening that just can't wait. Suzanne is an integral and essential part of our organization, and she's very conscientious about her work.
Oh, she is, absolutely.
She is.
Business first for her
motto.
That doesn't sound like Suzanne to me.
No?
Not at all. Of course, I just met her yesterday. I guess she could have this Mary Poppins side to her.
No, she couldn't.
No way. Not that I'm putting her down, you understand. Quite the contrary. Why, she's the greatest old gal I've met in some time.
Is she?
Sure, and she's so funny.
Suzanne?
Are you kidding? The lady owns a pig.
Yeah, that is kind of funny. I guess we've gotten used to it.
And she's the sweetest thing.
Excuse me, this is Suzanne Sugarbaker, correct?
Why, yes.
Just checking.
You know, Danny, there are some people who think, I mean, some silly people, and certainly nobody in this room, but some people find Susanna a little spoiled.
Why? Because she knows what she wants and she goes out and gets it? I admire that more than anything. I've had to do a little of that myself.
Well, Danny, there's one thing that you may not know about her, and I think you should. Mm. She's an incredibly beautiful woman.
Oh, I knew that. Though it kind of sounds like you all didn't.
Well, are we going out to dinner or what? I mean, here I am, all dressed up, and where are you? I swear, men are all the same.
Hi, gorgeous.
They don't care if you starve to death waiting. Well, come on now, let's go.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, now, Danny, right now, I'm giving you a little pout that says I'm mad with you, but I'll forgive you if the restaurant's nice enough. Now, I'm throwing back my head in a spirited fashion to make my earrings dance.
And now you're smiling at me. Suzanne, I can read you like a book.
Maybe. But just don't think that on the first date you're going to get to read it in Braille.